A republic is a government by law. If you ask the average person today what kind of government we have, they will tell you we have a democracy.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Are we in jeopardy of losing our religious freedom? On today's Truths That Transform, we look at a concerted effort doing just that.
We are definitely in a Christian unfriendly culture, and they are trying to eliminate references to God, Jesus, and the Bible, and even a symbol as simple as the cross.
You will see how, and you will meet a man fired from his job as a football coach simply for daring to utter a silent prayer.
All by myself on the 50, after the game was over, no kids on the field, I took a knee for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds, and just continued on with the team, and they ended up suspending me.
Where does this attack on religious freedom come from, and what can we do about it? Find out next on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. The Christian faith is the greatest bulwark we have against the onslaught of the secular and socialistic designs of the radical left. And that's why they are working overtime to extinguish religious liberty in this nation. On today's program, you will meet some people on the front lines of this fight, including a football coach who lost his job for praying, and some people who have just taken a crucial case to the Supreme Court. We will also give you an opportunity to make your voice heard so that judges who truly respect the First Amendment right to religious freedom are confirmed to the federal bench. We begin by taking you to Bladensburg, Maryland, where a long-standing war memorial with a cross on it may be torn down, unless the Supreme Court decides otherwise. Here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb with more.
More wolfbane, more effective than wolfbane, Count. Indeed.
Just as Dracula flees from the cross, so there are many atheistic legal groups in America that fight the cross at every turn, even when it's a symbol of those who paid the ultimate price for our country.
The cross is a symbol of sacrifice, and the ACLU and some of these groups, the atheist groups, don't want there to be crosses. They don't want them to be in public. They want them taken down.
And now one of these cases is before the Supreme Court.
In 1917, before most of you fighting men were born, our fathers fought the First World War to make the world safe for democracy, for the common man.
Nearly 50 men from a part of Maryland were among the many Americans who died in World War I, serving their country. Their families wanted to make sure that no one would ever forget their sacrifice.
Well, the Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial has been there since 1925, when men with the American Legion dedicated that to 49 men from Prince George's County, Maryland, who died defending freedom. It was their mothers who designed that memorial back in 1919. They wanted a memorial to remember their sons who had sacrificed everything in service of this country. And they mimicked the design of the gravestones that their sons were buried under in Europe. And so it stood there without any complaint until about 5 years ago, when some atheist groups got together and decided that the presence of that memorial on public property is offensive and violating the Constitution. The Fourth Circuit has agreed with them.
That means that whether that cross remains or is torn down is up to the 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court. A new George Barna poll finds that 84% of Americans say keep the Bladensburg cross standing.
And the reason that's so important is that if the Supreme Court does not take action here, not only is this memorial in jeopardy, but so are memorials just like it all over the country, including those in Arlington National Cemetery.
An ironic twist in this case of the Bladensburg Cross is that originally it was constructed on private land, land which was acquired some 35 years later by the government so that the freeway could be widened.
It's interesting, when this memorial was actually erected and dedicated, it was dedicated on property owned by the American Legion. And they've been the ones that have been maintaining it ever since then, really, until about the 1960s when the highway had to be expanded. When the time came for that highway to be expanded, there was some discussion as to whether or not that memorial would stay there or not. And there was an outcry by the people of Bladensburg. Of course they were going to keep that memorial. That's how they remembered their sons who had gone off to war in Prince George's County and never came back. And so they refused to take it down and instead just built the highway around it. And it's been there ever since as a silent beacon of hope and memory to the men who died serving our country. These men had dedicated themselves in battle. They had dedicated themselves in war. And they preserved our freedom by sacrificing everything that they had. And so it falls to us right now to choose how we're going to remember them in the future. Their mothers wanted them to be remembered by this memorial. I think we owe it to history to make sure that we keep it standing. We can't allow this memorial to be taken down. If we do, I think we begin to forget people that are on that memorial. Men like John Henry Seaburn, an African-American soldier who served in a segregated unit during the battle, during the war, died in service to his country in a segregated army, and yet he's right there unified with black and white soldiers on that memorial. That's an untold story in history.
In a recent video, First Liberty featured John Henry Seaburn's niece. She cherishes this photo of the uncle she never knew.
He was in love with a girl across the street, and they planned to get married.
But John Seaburn sailed to France for the World War.
He was young, 16, went into the service, and never returned.
Nearly 100 years ago, a group of moms built this to memorialize the 49 lost boys of Bladensburg. But today, some people want to destroy it.
You've got guys like Henry Hulbert, who's a Medal of Honor recipient on that memorial. That memorial is dedicated to him as well. Joseph Henry Ford, William Lee, these are men that otherwise the world would not know anything about. But because they gave everything, they served this country faithfully, all they ask in return, or really all their mothers ask in return, is that we remember them by this memorial.
The other side says that this cross violates the Constitution because, supposedly, it establishes religion. But then you wonder, did the founders who gave us the Constitution and the First Amendment establish religion when they hired chaplains for the military and for Congress? Did George Washington establish religion when he was sworn in on the Holy Bible and even leaned over and kissed it? Did Jefferson and Madison violate the Constitution when they regularly attended the weekly Christian worship services held in the U.S. Capitol building, which, by the way, were held for some 8 decades? And on it goes.
The crosses we see with the veterans' memorials are not really talking about any particular religion. They're talking about the sacrifice of those soldiers and what they've given. But the other side is so committed and bent on removing any religious imagery that would be in the public that they're even willing to really, in the process, shame our veterans, shame those who had spilled their blood for their country, because they're so on a binge to erase all the crosses and religious symbols.
It's astounding that in a nation settled by Christians and founded upon religious freedom, that something as basic as a Christian cross could be seen as a violation of the Constitution. And yet, it will now take a ruling from the Supreme Court to decide if that is so. Dr. D. James Kennedy clearly identified the secularist agenda behind all of this. And I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad knew that there was something deeply important behind all of this, didn't he?
He sure did. And he knew that an attack on our symbols was an attack on something more. My father never stopped giving thanks for the legacy of liberty left to us by America's founding fathers. America's freedom is something quite unusual in human history, and it didn't arise from a vacuum. My dad knew that for this sort of freedom to exist, it had to come from a higher authority than the government, which is merely composed of sinful human beings. The recognition that our rights come from God is in direct contradiction to the agenda pushed by the secularists. Their ongoing push for abortion on demand, the normalization of homosexuality and same-sex marriage, and ever-growing socialism finds its greatest resistance in the truths of Christianity. It's why they want to silence us, even in a nation where the Constitution recognizes our God-given freedom of religious expression. Their attack on the symbols of Christianity is an attack on Christianity itself. And if they succeed, America will lose her legacy of liberty, as my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, explains in this portion of his message, The Bible and the Constitution.
In 1787, 55 founders of this country met to perform what has been called the miracle in Philadelphia, and gave out that which has been described in England as the greatest work of the mind of ever struck from the mind of uninspired men, the Constitution of the United States. There is no doubt that there is greater controversy over just exactly what it was that they gave us and what were their intentions in giving it to us than there has ever been before. In 1986, a federal judge in Chicago said this: "The truth is that America's origins are Christian and that our founding fathers intended and achieved full religious freedom for all within the context of a Christian nation. In the First Amendment as it was adopted rather than as we have rewritten it." May I say that many of these principles have been so obscured in recent decades as to be almost unrecognizable. They gave us a government by law and not by men. That is the meaning of a republic. A republic is a government by law. Second principle that they gave us was that all men are created equal. Now, this was a radical departure from what had been known. In England, you certainly didn't have equality. You had the nobility and hoi polloi, the unwashed masses, the many. And that was completely eschewed by the founding fathers, who believed that all men were created equal. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. And so therefore they saw that men were created equal before God. And so therefore they gave us that equality. Now, that was the principle. It took us another 100 years before that principle was fully explicated and all men were considered to be equal, but the principle was enshrined in the Constitution. Thirdly, they gave us inalienable rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, said Thomas Jefferson in his declaration. The truth of the matter is, though Jefferson was probably the least person to want to acknowledge this, is that these were not self-evident. They were something that was taught. They were things that were taught in the Scripture, that people had rights that came from God. God, by the way, guarantees our rights in the Ten Commandments. The right of private property is guaranteed in the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." The sanctity of life and our right to life is guaranteed in the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And so the various rights that we have come from the guarantees that God has given us by His commandments. Do away with the commandments and you do away with our inalienable rights. So you see that when the Supreme Court says we can't put the Ten Commandments up on the walls of our schools, that they are indeed chipping away at the inalienable rights that we have from God, though most people don't recognize what's happened. As I said, most people usually end up saying, "What happened?" Liberty. Christians believe the text that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, the Bible says. And when the shackles of sin had been broken, shortly thereafter, everywhere Those who had been set free by Christ and had been given spiritual freedom began to seek political and civil freedom as well. And so it was a tremendous impetus of Christian redemption that moved people to seek the liberty in every part of their lives. And so that was guaranteed to us in the Constitution, an extent of liberty never before seen anywhere else in the world, and it came from the Word of God. All of these things and many others show us that it was out of the Bible that the principles of Christianity were brought forth and wedded to the principles of civil government.
As Dr. Kennedy just explained, our founders understood that rights coming to us from God could not be taken from us. And the First Amendment to the Constitution enshrines the freedom to exercise our religious faith as one of our most basic rights. But you're about to meet a man who was fired by a public institution merely for praying. It's hard to get the Constitution more wrong than that. And yet he's gotten no relief from the courts. Our own John Rabe has more.
It was kind of the covenant and the agreement I had with God. If he allowed me to coach, then, and that was my calling, that I would give him thanks.
Joe Kennedy, a former Marine, was a football coach at Bremerton High School in Washington State. He made a promise to God that he would thank him after each game, a promise he kept for 7 years without incident until 2015.
The referee has blown the final whistle, the players have left the field, and after that happens, Coach Kennedy made a commitment to God that once the game is over and he's done coaching, he wanted to pause briefly at the 50-yard line. And he just wanted to give thanks for what they did.
Though Coach Joe Kennedy never asked anyone to pray with him, players began to take notice.
The kids started coming out and, "Coach, what are you doing out there?" And I was like, "Just giving thanks for what you guys did." And they said, "Can we join you?" And I was like, "It's a free country. You can do whatever you want to do." And so a few of them came out, and over the first year, it was hit and miss. You know, sometimes there'd be three, sometimes none, to, you know, half the team. But every year it kind of grew and grew, and before long it was the whole entire team.
This is about the game, this is about the students.
Coach Kennedy had been praying after games for 8 years without incident, but a phone call to the school principal, ironically to compliment Coach Kennedy and the school on the prayer, raised the principal's concern, and he sent the athletic director to investigate.
The athletic director approached me and said, "Are we clear about the prayer thing?" And I was, "No, I'm not clear about it." And he says, "Well, can't have you praying. We just don't want you to lead the prayer." I was like, "Well, I don't know if I could promise that." And so I was alone. It was an away game, all by myself on the 50. After the game was over, no kids on the field. I took a knee for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds, and just continued on with the team, and they ended up suspending me.
After being fired from the school for privately praying on the field after football games, Coach Kennedy filed a lawsuit against the Bremerton School District. But his firing was upheld by a three-judge panel for the liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which said that because he prayed in view of students, his prayer could be construed as an establishment of religion. They further argued that he had essentially no First Amendment right to free exercise of religion as a school employee. But Coach Kennedy's attorney still disagrees.
Well, Bremerton School District has no legal basis to make this type of ultimatum on any employee, let alone a football coach, to say you have to choose between your faith and your job. And for the government to come in and say, and this is what the school district did here, they said, "You know, Coach, you can talk to your players, you can talk to your fellow coaches, you can talk to the fans, but one thing you can't do is talk to God." That's unconstitutional.
Joe Kennedy says he didn't set out to be a crusader for a cause. He just wants to coach football and be able to thank God for it.
I want to be the coach again. I want to be out there with those guys. They're my world. You never know how much they mean to you. until you lose something like that. And then it really hits you. It's like losing your kid. It's that you're left with that empty, hollow part of your soul, and it's a horrible feeling.
Can you imagine? The school district fired Coach Kennedy for saying a silent prayer. And the Ninth Circuit Court, the most liberal federal appeals court in the land, upheld the firing just because he could be seen by students as he prayed. How horrible. The Supreme Court has left the door open for hearing the case in the future, calling into question the Ninth Circuit's understanding of Coach Kennedy's rights. But it is absurd that he or anyone else must even wait for a court to grant those rights which our founding fathers so clearly enumerated in the Constitution. In fact, the most egregious attacks on religious freedom have come from judges. Organizations like the ACLU and the Freedom From Religion Foundation press these cases in friendly courts, and judges who are hostile to Christian values routinely uphold these cases, upending the Constitution and imposing secularism, the farthest thing from the intention and the text of the Constitution. That's why it's so important to have good judges who apply the Constitution rather than rewriting it to suit their own whims. President Trump has consistently nominated such judges, but more than 70 of them are stalled as opposing senators obstruct their confirmation. We have put together a petition to Senate leaders calling on them to use their expanded majority to get these judges confirmed immediately. Let them hear from you by signing this petition at djkm.org/judges. That address, again, to sign the petition to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, calling upon them to move forward with the confirmation of these 70-plus judges, is djkm.org/judges. And we also have a vital resource to share with you. On today's program, you have seen how secularism is chiseling away at our freedoms. As our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry, we will send you our book, Reclaiming the Lost Legacy, The Founders and the First Amendment. This book details the illegitimate removal of God from government and how we can reclaim our American biblical heritage. It is our thanks for your generous donation to the work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Reclaiming the Lost Legacy features chapters from Dr. Kennedy, myself, and many others. This compelling book explores America's deep heritage of freedom and will remind you of why it's worth preserving today. And we will set forth concrete steps to do it. We will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Recently, some boys from a Catholic high school in Covington, Kentucky, were accused of antagonizing a Native American who claimed to be a Vietnam veteran during the March for Life in Washington, D.C. They were vilified across news media and social media platforms for days until more video surfaced showing that the older man, actually a radical left-wing activist, actually instigated the entire confrontation himself. That same week, Karen Pence, wife of Vice President Mike Pence, announced she would be returning to teach at a Virginia elementary school where she previously taught for more than a decade. She was immediately attacked by the media and the left. The reason? The school is a Christian school, which asks students, faculty, and staff to abide by traditional biblical morality. The school's pledge notes that marriage has one meaning, one man, one woman in a lifetime union, and that sex is only for marriage. One CNN commentator, using their trademarked restraint, said the pledge was disgusting and insults millions of taxpaying American citizens. Blissfully ignorant, I guess, that Christian schools do not receive taxpayer support, CNN and other media outlets called the school and Mrs. Pence intolerant and hateful. Also that very same week, a reporter for the New York Times went trolling on Twitter looking to interview young people who had previously attended Christian schools. He used the Twitter hashtag #ExposeChristianSchools. You need not wake up Einstein to realize that the hard left New York Times was not looking for positive testimonies from these former students. Friends, it really doesn't take much to connect the dots here. After the church itself, Christian schools represent the largest threat to the radical left's project of remaking America in a pagan image. It's their goal to crush Christian education and the biblical morality that comes with it. Christian schools, now more than ever, need our prayers and our tangible support. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
That's what we're really concerned with, is the proper interpretation of the First Amendment, which protects people's rights to live according to their faith, whatever that faith may be.
Proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Are the words of the Old Testament and the words which are inscribed upon the Liberty Bell. Well, we need, I think, a few more Liberty Bells to be heard throughout the land today.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.